Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's a Tuesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
Maybe Kyrie will talk to us tomorrow when I run into him at Zoom. Maybe he mentions my name. Ooh, and I'll go home and freaking scrub baby oil in my body.
Christian Fourier.
He's awesome.
And Glenn Ordway.
He took the pipe.
All right, I took the pipe.
Yeah, let's get to the...
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
The Bruins dropped Game 5 to the Islanders and are one loss away from their season ending. Oh, and Bruce Cassidy was not happy.
It's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders.
NBC Sports' Catherine Tappan joins the show at 3:30. Now it's time for OMF.
Small sample size of knocking
on EEI.
By the way, the Bruins did take the pipe last night. There was no question about
that. They took the pipe, all right.
Oh, did they ever. And it's painful.
In old school fashion.
Yep. You got one more to go, and then they're off to summer vacation, unless they can salvage one.
So if NBA players go to Cancun, where do NHL players, what are they, when they put their hands in the season's over, they go to Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
No, really?
They go over the pond, and they just go home.
Oh.
You know, Russia ain't bad, you know, in June, July, yeah. You know what I mean?
Really?
Czechoslovakia, it's nice over there.
Yeah, it's beautiful this time of the year,
Czechoslovakia. Sure. I always said that.
Yeah. All right, let's start with the obvious, and that is the goaltender who played the first two periods. And then Bruce Cassidy decided, or somebody decided, between the second and third period, that maybe he should sit down and we should go with Swayman. So usually Cassidy is so specific. We love that about him. He tells you everything. I have no idea what he was talking about when he was asked the question of why he replaced Tukarask.
Yeah, it's there was some maintenance that needed to be done. He wasn't 100%, so we made a decision. That's a call we had to make between periods. I'll just say he wasn't himself 100%. Could have went back in. We made a decision not to put him back in.
Will Tuka be ready to go for game 6?
I assume he will.
Hmm. So, I mean, we're talking about some red flags going into the day game anyways, right?
Yeah.
Talk about the morning skate that they had. So he didn't practice with the team. He went out there a little bit beforehand, took a couple of shots, and called it a day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that unless you're dealing with something. So right. you could actually sit there and say, well, Jesus, did they make the wrong call by even starting him in the first place?
Maybe.
And to me, this isn't about Tuka sucks. This isn't about Tuka quitting. This isn't about, you know, you can't win with Tuka. You know, this is about Tuca's hurt. Tuca's not 100%. So because of that, Tuca shouldn't be playing.
I agree.
Bruce Cassidy, before the playoffs even started right away, maybe the first game against the Caps going in or whatever, they asked about Tuca, you know, because at the end of the year they had to kind of be careful with him because of the back. And he actually said, he's like, well, you know, if he can't go, we got a competent backup. Well, you do have a competent backup. But obviously, you know, you don't feel you want. What is the percentage of Tuca? What is he, 75-80% is better than Swayman? Is that game?
I'm not sure it is.
I'm not sure he should have played.
I've heard a lot of people say that since the game last night. Well, 80% of Tuca is better than Swayman. I'm not sure of that. How do we know that?
Because he's young. That's it.
Okay.
He's young.
Okay, so you're throwing him into the fire. It's not the
inexperience.
It's not the perfect situation to throw him in the fire last night or throw him in tomorrow night. But I got to believe he gives you a better chance than a 75%, 80% Tukarask. And again, you're right, Lou. It's going to sound like we're beating up a Tukarask. It's not his fault. If his back goes out, Christian, you know what that's like. Back goes out, it changes how you move.
Yeah.
You can't move.
I've been bitching about my back for like the last month and a half, bringing in like, you know, stretching devices and
ooh, my
to
back.
Work it out totally. So it was funny. So last night I'm sitting there going, dude, He is standing around like me. You can tell that he's reluctant to stand. He waits till the last minute to move. You can just tell there's nothing smooth about it. He looks stiff as hell, and everything is late. Like, I mean, now that is 100% back issues. The inability to bend from your waist, like always like, oh, my God, my back. You know, we play that clip all the time. Now, this is a guy that probably said, I can go. I'm good. You sure? Like, in the NFL, they, you know, you guys know this, right? So if a guy is injured and he misses a lot of the week, Ernie Adams used to take them out, or Jim Whalen used to take them out, like, 4 hours before the game. Okay, and they would put them through a badass workout, like, just to make sure that they wouldn't get, if they got hurt during these little warm-up sessions before the game, then they knew they couldn't play him. So if you passed that test, you could play in the game, and you had no excuses. It seems like his morning skate was like his test. Let me test it out. Let me see if I can go. And he believed it. He got into the game and said, this is a little bit different. Everything's happened a lot faster, and I can't do it. It was almost like, even when I saw him like in the beginning of the third period, Lou, I'm sitting there going, he's just out of it. He's so disconnected from this game. It's like, I just should have never played in the first place.
Yeah, no, and even a couple times, he almost lost the puck. He came out of the net, and he just couldn't get out there quick enough. Yeah. I looked at the, more importantly, and maybe this is what they saw, this is what they felt like, but that third and fourth goal, the Bailey goal that was out in front, and he kind of had to go post to post a little bit, but he was falling forward. Like, he was all off balance.
Yeah.
Like, on that goal, if you look at it, he's actually falling forward, like face to the ice. You know, he's going down. Like, there was just no balance. And even that last one, the Eberle goal, and, you know, we were, last night I was at NBC, and there was, like, still shots of him, like, moving side to side, and he had basically, Eberle took his time. It wasn't even a one-timer, and he had both corners to go after. Like, both corners to go after. And it's just, you look at the guy and you're saying, the guy's just not moving side to side. And you know they're shooting high on him because you know he stays down. They're going for all over his shoulders, right and left. You know, left, I mean, they're just, I feel like they're just picking on it right now. They look at a goalie right now. They know he's not 100%. They know how to beat him because he's not moving well. So with that said, I know it's a tough spot. I'd go with Swayman, game six. And I know it's awful spot.
Oh, I think there's no question.
Awful spot and going up there in game six, an elimination game. Like I was saying last night, if the Bruins tie this thing up, is Swayman crapping himself? You know, you come into the game 4-2, you're down. You 5-2, you give up a goal. If they tie it 5-5, you go into overtime. Are you crapping yourself right now? You're a rookie?
I might be.
Whatever. Well, get ready because you should be in there in game six. Yeah,
I don't know what the makeup of this kid is. But
we'll find out.
In regular season is much different than the playoffs. I do believe, though, changing up and giving a different look changes up what the skaters see for the Islanders. They're seeing a different goaltender who has a totally different style. I think sometimes that is right. Sometimes that is
a huge, you know how to beat Tuukka right
that's
now.
A, yeah. Right. That's a huge benefit to you. Okay? I mean, the Bruins saw that goaltender, the kid that played in the Pittsburgh series, that was terrific, right? Sorokin. And then what happened? They got to him because they figured him out. Now, maybe that happens. But can you get away with a couple of games with Swayman right now where he gives you a totally different style? The other thing that was a plus for Rass last night, he only had 16 shots. He only had 16 shots.
That first period, I was sitting there going, his back's probably getting really stiff just standing around. Like, just joking about it because there was no action down on his end. The Bruins, they were completely just dominating that first period. I was like, he's probably bored.
I don't know if you guys...
Somebody get him like a crossword puzzle or something to do because he's not involved in the game, not because he can't do it, just because there was nothing going on his end.
I want to get into the other facets of the game because there are a bunch of other stuff in the game. We'll get into a lot more with Tuukka, and we'll ask you the question. Who should be the starting goaltender tomorrow night? Even if you are the most ardent Tuukka Rask fan, I've got to believe that you don't want to see him out there in this game tomorrow night. We get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. Catherine Tappan from NBC will join us as well to talk about last night's game. And I want to find out what you two guys thought, and we'll do it right after the break. What your thought process was, how you were feeling after the first period. We'll do all of that right here on OML.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Follow him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. No, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
No, I think the whole playoffs, we haven't got very many calls go, you know, to put us on the power play. They see what they see. You can't do anything about it, Hags. You hope that comes around. You keep playing hard, earn your calls. You know, we're not going to bitch about it. It is what it is. You know, hopefully we'll start getting the ones that we deserve.
And a penalty will be called.
And so the first power play of this game goes to the Islanders.
Well, Sean Corrali with the slash. Francis Saron saw it.
Bruce Cassidy doesn't like it. That's obvious. And a penalty is called as Leo Komarov lost his stick.
Grizzlick will be the guilty party, and that'll put the Islanders on their second power play. They scored on their first. And then you'll see it right there is the cross-check on the shot coming in.
And a penalty, I believe, is going to be called here.
Watch Wagner right here. High stick, cross-check to the head area.
Obviously, how frustrating a night was that for you with hockey club?
Barzal with a shot. He scores! He does it again. Matt Barzal is on a run. A chance, they score! All alone at the side of the goal. Guess who? Kyle Palmieri. As it goes, Eberle. He scores! Jordan Eberle on the weak side. Left alone, and he picks a spot. Another power play goal. Rookie goaltender Jeremy Swayman will relieve Tuukka Rask.
I think it's a good move.
I think it's a good move.
Yeah, it's a good move. Yeah, good move. Think? Johnny come lately.
Well, will they make the move tomorrow? We'll throw it out to you at 617-779-7937. We're going to get to the penalties because they clearly were a factor in last night's game. Whether you like criticizing the officials or not, they were. And the comments after the game cost Cassidy $25,000. There are a bunch of other things that probably were the other reason the Bruins lost. But I'm watching this game, and I'm watching the first period, and I'm going, oh, my God. I mean, this is the Bruins team that we've been waiting for, okay? And it was relentless, right? They were all over that net. And you sit there at the end of the first period and go, wait a minute, it's a 1-1 game. What the hell did they just do?
You know, we always talk about like the onslaught in those first 5 or 6 minutes, and the Bruins just put it on them.
They put it on for 15 or 16 minutes.
But I understand that, but I was looking at it, I think, because it was like, I think it took the Islanders, honest to God, about 6 minutes to even control the damn puck.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it was like the fourth line.
Yeah.
It was it. That was it. Like, the fourth line came out, and like we had one shift where they actually controlled the puck, but that was 6 minutes into the game. I'm with you. Like, 1-0, you sat there and said, man, this thing should be 2-0, 3-0. It should have been 2-0.
Well, Marchand's goal.
Yeah, the wraparound.
Yeah,
they couldn't tuck it in.
Went to the crease. And
I mean, Bergeron missed a couple one-timers, you know, missed the net a few times and setups, but they came out doing exactly what you thought they were going to do. So, oh, my God, this thing's going to be a blowout.
And I think
the New Islanders did what they needed to do, withstand it.
And when the first period was over, I said to myself, they're screwed. They should be up 2-0, as you said, if Marchand can hit that in, or maybe 3-0 with the opportunities they had, and now it's a totally different game.
This has got to be so frustrating because they're so clearly the better team. They're so clearly.
I don't know about clearly.
Well, hold on, because I'll say it like this, and like, you know, missed opportunities, the inability to extend the lead, they can't finish at the net. I'm sitting there going, wow, this is like. Like a football team, like you, when you know they rack up the yards, they rack up the first downs, they dominate the time of possession, but they can't finish, so they kick in field goals. Oh, they kick a field goal, and the dude misses it. And then next thing you know, someone fumbles the ball, the guy runs it back, next thing you know, it's 10-3. Purely better skill team, better everything, yet you look at the scoreboards, you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, you know what I think
the
it
Islanders,
is?
To me, are so much slower. But they're so goddamn opportunistic. They took advantage of every single opportunity that they had, they were patient. They were getting dominated. They sure enough, they get on a power play, they score right away. They get another one, they score right away.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with your point because I think you're right. At times, the Bruins seem to be able to dominate this team. Here's the problem. The Islanders go four lines deep. For all we've talked about the Bruins, they're not a real deep team. The third and fourth line is very sporadic at best. And you have the same problem now with Carlo out and Miller with your defensive pairings. You don't have great depth there either.
That's probably the biggest deal right now is because, you know, obviously you get to the PK. I mean, not having Miller, not having Carlo, especially
that
Carlo, especially
night.
In the penalty kill. I mean, it's, yeah, I look at that team, and Christian, I'm not so sure. You know, you're watching those games, and they are opportunistic, and I think, what was it, the Palmieri goal, the one that went off Clifton's, not just one skate, but two. If it went off one skate, you'd have been fine. Yeah. If it went off one skate, it would have got out of the way from the goal. But it went off one, hit the other right to him. So, but at some point, you got to look at it and say, "Though, I mean, is it all just luck?"
No, Barzal is very skilled.
I'm just saying, things like the one goal that they scored. Who was it that broke his stick? I think it was Tenorti busted stick, and they scored on it. It's like, okay, well, I just feel like they're creating everything. You know, they talk about packing it in. It just seems like their sticks are in every passing lane. You know, I think that was like the start of that second period where the Bruins came out firing again. And it seemed like every single one-timer, somebody was set up for it, and it came the stick and just knocked the puck away slightly.
Yeah.
Or as they were one-timer, and a stick came and lifted his stick a little bit just to get him off the shot. It's like they forecheck, they get in your face, they minimize the space. They're just a really good hockey team, and they're deep.
I agree, right.
They don't have a perfection line, but Barzal's damn good.
They have an integrity line. They tell the truth, and an identity line. But I would also say though, with all that being said, no, I do think eventually you can't keep saying, "Oh, we have no puck luck." You can't stop blaming the puck for bouncing a certain way, but you can blame the fact that you're literally flying a plane with no landing gear. Like, you don't have a goalie. And the guy that you have is a shell of himself. So you can do everything right. You can draw everything right. You can provide all the energy you want, Cassidy, and bitch and complain to everybody to try to light a fire under these guys. But you don't have a goalie.
I don't think that was a factor until last night's game. I think if we look at the first four games,
Rask was pretty good.
I thought it was game went too. I just felt like in that.
Are we going to go back to the Washington Capitals series too? I mean,
no, I thought he was good there. But I mean, again, when you're dealing with the back, it's just like slowly with every game, it gets a little stiffer, a little sore, a little stiffer. And it looked like as the game went on. Well, that's what I mean. But as the game went on, it looked like in that second period, again, like I said, those third and fourth goals, it looked like he couldn't move. Like he had no base. And when you lose your back, you're shot. So the question is, like, you know, don't go with the kid Swayman because it's game six up in New York. It's
tough.
Like, well, I mean, do you really think that
your goal
is to win, right, to move on? So to win these next two games, get to the Eastern Conference Finals, eventually get to the Stanley Cup. Does anyone believe right now that Tuukka Rask can take you there?
No.
Given the way he looks right now after playing, you know, how many games? Ten games?
Lou, he only played 24 games in the regular season for a reason. Okay, so you're dealing with that same nagging injury right now.
It's getting worse is the point. It's
exactly.
10 games in.
No, I think it's a no-brainer.
You're making the switch eventually.
You have got to go with Swayman tomorrow. And, hey, listen, best case scenario, he stands on his head, hockey term, and then they come back and win game seven, he wins, and now suddenly you're off to the races, and you've solved your problem for next season as well.
See, my question is, so one, you take the option away from Tuukka Rask. Like, he's not allowed to be in the conversation. Because the way I feel like it happened, and this is not inside information, this is just flat out just, you know, trying to read it from 30,000 feet.
Hockey insiders,
I think there was
today.
Probably like, hey, listen, hey, coach, I can play. I'm good. Okay.
Everybody's going to say that.
No. But listen, of course. But it's up to you to decide whether you trust them or not. Like, nobody wants to say, they don't want to be honest. They're like, hey, listen, I'm not crying, and there's tears coming down their eyes. You know, so my question is, that conversation's probably going to happen. Do you trust him?
I would
Do
have
you
that
trust that Tuukka Rask can sit there and give you three periods.
No.
And the answer is, I'm a hell no.
And I think you've got to make the decision today. Apparently, they're going to wait and make the decision tomorrow. I think you make it today, and you give 24 hours here for Swayman to understand you're the guy.
I also don't mind the ambush, to be honest with you. Game six on the road, elimination game. You know, I don't know, give him 24 hours to think about it. It might mess him up even more. Maybe you just ambush his ass.
You let him know, like, at 5 o'clock? Hey, you're in, kid. You're in.
And listen, we've seen in NHL playoffs, you know, coaches pull goalies, and just he doesn't have it that night, put him in the next night, and be very good. We've seen it before. So if Bruce Cassidy did not come out and say what he said about how it's maintenance and he's not 100%, then I think, you know, there would still be a discussion of we didn't like what we saw from Tuukka play Swayman. But because it wasn't just performance, he's our guy, just wasn't his night, it wasn't because of that. I mean, it was maybe partially, but he's admitting that it was maintenance, that he's not 100%. So the minute you open that door up, then it turns into, hey, what are we doing here? The guy couldn't even practice with you as a team in the morning. And then you got to pull him for maintenance. He looked awful in the third and fourth goal, in my opinion. So, yeah. Are you going to actually roll him out there for an elimination game? I just don't think you do it.
So I agree.
As much pressure as is on the kid, you just can't do it.
But, you know, we talk about people who for some reason blame everything on Tuukka Rask. And Christian has already said it, that maybe Tuukka Rask is fighting through it and saying, no, I can play. Maybe he's doing it because he understands the alternative. He knows what's going to happen. People are going to look at him and go, oh, here we go again. Tuukka can't go. It's a big game.
So,
and he
so what
can't
he did was worse,
done.
Though. What he, because discretion is the better part of valor, in my opinion. Because, like, the best case scenario is, all right, Swayman, you got to get us through one game. We got to give this dude at least 72 hours to get 100% right. Because when he's healthy, he is better than you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you gotta come with it and kind of get a set, because you just gotta be the bridge. So we can, you know, get so Tuukka can kind of, you know, get his legs underneath him. At this point, he doesn't have them, period.
See, a lot of people, it's always like Tuukka Rask, you know, with the way Swayman played at the end of the year, he was outstanding. I know he hasn't played in a while, obviously, because Tuukka has been playing. But before the playoffs started, we always talked about, what's your one concern about Tuukka? Tapping out for something. Right. And now he's got a back. But the thing was, he's like, okay, if he has to tap out because of his back, and it's not just, you know, because of his tummy aches or whatever, but it's a real injury with his back, then you feel pretty good because you got the kid Swayman. And I feel like a lot of people felt that way.
I did.
So, but when did you think that was going to happen, that wasn't going to put a lot of pressure on the kid joining the NHL playoffs in the middle of it, because if Tuukka's hurt back was hurting, which it was the last couple of months of the season? What did you think? Hopefully, a nice little up 1-0, maybe game two of a series, like early in the series? No. Chances are it was going to be in the middle of a damn series when they're 2-2 tie, big game five, swing game, or facing elimination. So this is where you are. You were comfortable with it before the season started. Now all of a sudden, nobody wants to put the kid in that kind of pressure spot just because it's game six.
I think
this is the way it is. You got two good goaltenders. Play the healthy one.
In retrospect, you could look back to yesterday and say Tuukka shouldn't have been playing on that
game
last
night. Probably shouldn't have been.
Swayman should have been out there. And why are they reluctant to put Jeremy Swayman?
Well, if you think about it, probably. I mean, you got to. Yeah, granted, last night wasn't an elimination game. It was a huge game. Game five is a huge game. But if Tuukka couldn't practice with the team and you sat there and said, man, tonight's going to be kind of iffy. If we only had 24 hours or 48 hours, he'd be perfectly fine. Well, if anything, Swayman should have started last night. So that way, at least Tuukka's ready for game six.
Right.
Yeah, Glenn. So
the guy couldn't practice
you say
with the team yesterday.
So, Glenn, I feel like he's been a little premature with his must-win comments. This is a must-win
game.
This
is a must-win.
Are
you sure?
I would agree with you there,
Christian. You're positive.
This is a must-win. Yes. Go ahead and say it.
You'll change.
Finally, you'll be right.
You'll change your mind in 2 hours.
You'll be right. You'll be right.
Ordway, Merloni, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Just obviously, how frustrating a night was that for you and your hockey club? You outshot him 44-19. Maybe not getting a second or third goal in that first period, the difference.
Yeah, I don't know where you want me to go with that, Dan. If you want to be more specific, it's obviously frustrating. We felt we're the better team. We didn't win.
Go to Matt Porter.
Well, he didn't hold back. We'll get to it in a couple minutes, and we'll get into the whole penalty situation. And he got fined today.
Get into it.
We will. He got fined $25,000 today, and it'll be interesting because we talked about this the other day. He talked about the officiating then. He doesn't seem to be getting any attention from the officials. They're not paying attention.
It's not working.
No, it's not. All right, to the phone calls we go. Tuukka Rask, should he be in the nets tomorrow night? If he says,
well, just one of them,
he's okay.
Right. He's going to play both sides.
That's really going to foul up his back.
Here's Dylan in Providence. Hello, Dylan. The button's not working here, guys.
Yeah, there it is. Hey, Dylan. What's up, buddy? All right. Is anything working?
Hello, Dylan. Can you hear us, Dylan?
Get up rid of Dylan.
Okay. Let's try Will. Will's next.
Here we go. Hey, Will.
Hello, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Hi, Will.
Just calling in for some Bruins talk therapy. Couldn't agree more with everything that you guys are saying. I think last night's loss was a lot to do with a bunch of a little different things, whether it's, you know, missing Carlo, whether it's some of the refs. I'm fully supportive of what everything Cassie's been saying. Is a little bit of Tuukka too, maybe, but I think the big difference maker in last night was Varlama. I think he stole them that game.
He was excellent.
And he very well, he might just steal them the series.
Lost it too.
I think he, what's that?
He almost lost it too. He's like, I mean, it's like you can look at it two. I mean, you can look at it two ways. Like, sure, he in the beginning, I thought, yeah,
they put 40,
though, he almost gave it up.
Didn't they put 40 shots on or something like that on that?
He made 40 saves.
44.
How many came in the first period? I'm not saying that he's not good.
I thought he was not good.
My point is that in the end, it's almost like he got like a little lazy. Or the Bruins just got, you know, psychotic. Because he almost, if that was a five, they had a 3-goal lead at one point. If that was two, like, I would have felt a little bit better about the Bruins coming back. But when they got that fifth goal on Swayman, I was like, this is over. It's over. They can't overcome 3 goals.
They
can overcome two. And they tried like hell.
The third period
was
the big.
Too many.
Third period where they really outshot him because it was 18-3. And that Swayman saw three.
And again, I thought he was terrific in that. I think there was just a barrage. His defense let him down. If anything, that was just a barrage.
And I can think off the top of my head three or four really good scoring chances where they just missed the net.
Yes.
We talk about that Marchand wraparound. Yeah. He couldn't get it in.
Yeah. Bergeron
missed a couple. I think it was Krejci or Hall might have missed the net too. Another ones, you know, that were just point blank. He was good. He was good. But there was just a lot of things. They add up, and we'll get to the rest. Let me go to
Dylan in Providence. I'll try him again. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, how you guys doing? I should be here now.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right.
So I think the clear answer for me has got to be Swayman and net. And that doesn't have to be viewed as an indictment of Tuukka, right? Many teams would have killed for the last decade to have goaltending, the quality of Tuukka's, a Vezina trophy. You know, that is a very rare thing in the league today. But there's a reason why Swayman's in this position and not, for example, Dan Vladar, who we've seen in the past, right? And you saw this already in this playoffs. They didn't win the series, but the Florida Panthers made a very similar move with Spencer Knight over two very more experienced goaltenders, in particular Sergei Bobrovsky. They brought Spencer Knight in. He kept that in that game, kept them in that series, rather, with Tampa Bay for one more game longer than they would have been. They didn't win the series, so I know that might not be the strongest argument, but
it's
that
not.
Was something. And now looking at the Panthers today, they're saying, wow, I think we've got our guy in Spencer Knight. You know, this is who we are. So I think it's the opportunity to do that, and, you know, that's the best option for the Bees.
Wait a minute. If we're talking about what's the best opportunity for next season, it would be, yes, Swayman comes out tonight in a desperate situation tomorrow night, and he's terrific in this game, and they come back and they win Game 7. I don't care even if they lose the next series. The fact is that they win this series because Swayman is really good. It solves all your issues for next year. You don't have to pay $7.5 million for a goaltender. You got a guy on the cheap that you can look at that is legit. But are we really worried about next season right now?
No. No, I'm not worried about next season. I'm worried about who the healthy goalie is.
Exactly.
And that's it. And I like the way you put it. This isn't like ripping Tuukka Rask. I don't think as a show we don't fall in that category of like I want Swayman game one.
Well, you're gonna get some
calls here. I want Tuukka Rask in net. But he's hurt his back and he's not moving well. And yes, and I don't even know if it's gonna make a difference. Because with no Carlo and no Miller, they make too many mistakes. Every single damn turnover in their own zone is a goal. The thing last night, was it the third goal or the fourth goal with Corrali? I think it was the power play. He had a little, it was the fourth goal. Tried to backhand a little short pass to nobody.
Right.
To right to the Islanders, right to the back of the net.
Two Islanders were standing
behind.
Yeah,
two guys are right there. Rather than trying to clear it. And I know it's a backhand, so it's not the easiest clear in the world.
Yeah, but
it's got to be a better effort than that, than just having a little drop pass backhand right to two Islanders. So if they can't do that, I don't know if it makes a difference.
Yeah.
All I know is I want a healthy goaltender, a guy that moves well, and Tuukka's not moving well.
Yeah, it may not make a difference because of the way the defense is playing right now. This is Jim. Jim's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Can we go to engineering and get a new mouse
little clicker?
Yeah, well, Greg Hill apparently broke it this morning. Go ahead, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Okay, I'm going to go a different route here. I'm going to go psychology. Psychology is huge. As great as Rask is, okay, 2 years ago, he lost to an AHL goalie. Binnington was an AHL. They call him up, and they went 28-2 from last place to beat a superior Bruins
team. That's not fair, though.
How many shots did Tuukka put on Binnington?
Let me just finish real quick.
They don't play against each other.
No, in game seven, you give up. He gives up one goal. You got to say, I'm determined. I'm going to give up. How I'm going to do it, give up zero goals, just like Tim Thomas did 10 years ago.
Everything's Tim Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem Tuukka Rask has, is that Tim Thomas stood on his head, hockey term.
Everything.
Stood on his head during that entire playoffs. He had a couple shaky games, but overall he was phenomenal in that series, making big save after big save after big save. And jeez, everybody's going to try to compare everything to Tim Thomas in 2011
amazing
postseason.
You know what? Tim Thomas, poor Mac Jones. Tim Thomas wins one freaking Stanley Cup. And now Tuukka Rask comes in. He's a badass goalie, one of the best in the NHL. He can't win a Stanley Cup. What do you think? What do you think Mac Jones is going to go through? You know, living under the shadow of freaking Tom Brady.
What are you talking about?
Give me a break.
He's not living under the shadow. He's following Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's still going to be Tom Brady.
What are you talking about?
And it's just amazing. Yeah. It's just every person who calls in and references freaking Tim Thomas.
But I love that it's like psychology. You know, like, you get one goal, that's it. I ain't giving up a goal. We get one goal, winning this game 1-0. What do you think they're thinking? Like, what do you think an NHL goalie is thinking every time he takes the ice?
Right.
Geez, I hope we score 4 because I'm going to give up 3 today. What do you don't you? You don't
I kept
think
it at 3 tonight.
You don't think goaltenders at that level think they're pitching a shutout every single night? But it just doesn't happen. It's off a skate. It's off a tip. They're not in position. It's fluky goals. I mean, things happen. But if you really think that a goalie doesn't take, like a pitcher doesn't take the mound thinking he's throwing a complete game shutout. Well, these days, maybe. 5 and dive. 5 innings. But still.
Not anymore. Checking
what do you
balls.
Think? That, what do you,
I do think, though, that if we're talking about the legacy here of Tuukka Rask, because he's been very, very good in the years he's been here. I'm not sure he's coming back next year. And if best case, let's go best case, worst case scenario. Swayman goes out there and pitches a shutout tomorrow. Then he's really good and they win game 7, okay? Suddenly Swayman is the guy and Rask is an afterthought, maybe not here next year, and people are down on him. The opposite, the flip side of it, is that Swayman is bad tomorrow, but they still lose the series. And they're still going to point the fingers back at Tuukka Rask. How does Tuukka Rask win in any of this? If you're looking at the overall legacy of Tuukka Rask, he can't win right now, guys.
Yeah, you know, because if you were healthy, if you would have taken better care of your body,
we would have gone to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes,
exactly.
We wouldn't have been in this position. You forced Swayman to play when he wasn't ready, even though everyone says he's a capable backup.
I think Swayman's got nothing to lose.
He can do the job.
Image-wise,
No, he's playing with house money right now. Correct. And I would say, I think you said this, Lou, I'm not even sure, actually, in the first segment. The fact that he got thrown in there, I think is a good thing. You kind of like, you know, baptism by fire, the hard part's over. Like, you've already played in a game. You already gave up your first goal.
Ambush.
Like, now you can play. Yeah, you got ambushed. Now you're ready to go. Now it's not a surprise. You're kind of real. And you're playing at home under the friendly confines. You know, like, it's not like there's nothing crazy going on. No one's going to throw any water bottles at you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They can get
instead
nasty.
Instead of saying Tuukka after every stop, what are they going to say? Swear.
They can get nasty. Put up Ian on line one in a car. Hello, Ian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Hey, listen, I just want to reference one thing. Ken Dryden was a rookie goalie who was drafted by the Bruins, ironically. But then that 71-72 season, he stonewalled the Bruins and won the series for them. I think you give this kid Swayman a chance.
Ian, I like the reference, but here's the problem. There have been 10 guys since Ken Dryden did it who have done exactly the same thing, including Bennington that somebody just brought up. So people have done it over the years. Time and time again, you can do it. Young goaltenders catch skaters off guard. They have different style. You're not expecting it. You're looking at all this film of the goaltender, and now suddenly a new guy's in there.
Yeah.
Can happen.
So why not give him a chance?
I'm in.
We're all in.
Yeah, we're all in agreement. I mean, at some point, you thought maybe you weren't sure if Tuukka was going to be able to stand the entire playoff run, and you want a deep playoff run. So if you thought this kid was going to have to jump in there and play a game, what easy game did you think that was going to be?
There is no easy game.
There's no easy game. So this is a tough game, no question about it. But to me, I start him because he's healthy.
Well, no, that's the main thing. It has nothing to do with, you know, because, you know, Swayman's a better goalie. It's because he just, Tuukka just has to get right, and he is not right right now. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Eddie's in Quincy. Put him up. Hello,
hey,
Eddie.
Big O.
What a
big pull. Tell me a big game that Tuukka has won.
Game he's six of the Stanley Cup at St. Louis.
We have to get asked that
game
question.
Game six
all
at,
the
at St. Louis and Stanley Cup elimination game.
When they went to with Chicago, right? They came back to Boston. They were ahead 2-1. He loses three in a row.
That was a better right? team. That team was much better.
Oh, okay, that was a better
that
team.
That Blackhawks
okay.
team was a much better team. Stop it.
How about the game that they had to play to win to get into the playoffs? He said he was sick. They lost that game 6-1.
He did.
Right?
He was sick.
Last year, he was game 7. 4-1.
He's had bad timing. I'm not going to debate that, Eddie. He's had bad timing, but he's been an excellent goaltender.
Eddie,
he's won big game.
You know, listen, game seven at home, that was a huge disappointment. The entire team. The entire
what's
team.
The big game he's ever won for us.
Here's the point.
Honestly.
You got to the Stanley Cup. Okay? You got you got to game seven of the Stanley Cup. Do any of those wins before that matter? Or you think any of those games were big?
Matter, but he doesn't come up for the big game.
Okay, you're not understanding what I'm saying.
The last game.
In order to get to the Stanley Cup, he won three games in the Cup. Any of those Stanley Cup games, big games? How about the Eastern Conference Finals?
He's won a lot of games, but when it comes to crunch time, he takes the gap.
Okay, see, here's the thing. Here's what you need. If you call up, that is the stupidest question, dumbest question. Just say... He hasn't won a cup. Just say
exactly.
That.
The guy's been the two
me,
cups. I'm
give me
sure.
how many cups he's won.
I'm pretty
how many
sure.
Stanley Cups has he won?
During both thanks, Stanley Bill. Cup runs, I'm pretty sure there was a big game in there that he won just to get there.
He won a few.
Just to get there.
I know, but it doesn't matter. So the question isn't
you
tell me
win
a
game
big
seven.
Game that he's won. Tell me a game seven in the Stanley Cup finals that he's won.
Hasn't won one.
Tell me. Okay. He's not clutch.
And that's the
problem. He can't do it.
Right. And that's the problem. And so in here, think about it, with all of the championships over the years for all the sports teams here, we have a different set of standards. And that's why Tuukka Rask takes so much, I almost said the wrong word, so much crap here in Boston. That's why he takes so much crap. Because you guys hit it. He's never won the final game of the playoff.
He's never won
it.
It's a fact. You can't argue it.
Can't argue
it. This is true. I was just looking. I was just Googling it.
Nope. You double check it?
I didn't find it.
Triple
check
it.
How do you spell
it? Triple
Rask.
Check it. Huh? Here's David. Hello, David.
Hey. What do you think? I got a few suggestions for the Bruins. What do you think, first of all, of switching up the lines tomorrow night?
You want to break up the first line?
No.
I mean, but they need somebody. You know, I want to use a Celtics analogy from the early.
No. Break up the lines for me. What the second line you want to break up?
I don't know. I'm just speculating. I don't know, but I mean, they
break
need,
up
they
any
need...
any line. Okay.
All right, David.
That's great, David. Thank you very much.
There seems to be a lot of just issues, but really no solutions. Like. It's like, pick what irritates you. I don't want any more penalties.
Well,
okay,
I think...
Me too. I don't want any more penalties either. And listen, if there are penalties, I would like them to stop them. I would like them to kill them. How about that? Let's start with that.
Here's the biggest problem they have when you want to mess around with the lines or whatever. They just don't have enough guys. The bottom six are not good enough. Do you remember earlier in the season we were talking about Nick Ritchie and how much better he is? And, oh, my God, look at him in front of the net.
Yeah,
he was great.
Place.
Exactly. Has anybody watched him now lately? What is he doing now?
Listen, you got your top two lines. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You want, you know, consistent play. You want third line would be nice if you got something going. Coyle shows up, you know, I think. But, I mean, fourth line, Lazar's out, right?
Yes.
He's out.
Yes.
Correct.
So is DeBrusk coming back in?
Oh, I hope not.
I imagine it could
Frederick?
Either be Jake DeBrusk or, and if you don't want penalties, good luck, because Trent Frederick might see some ice time too.
Yeah. So I think they're going to make some moves, so just David will be happy. But I love it. Just switch up the lines. Like, you need no clue. I don't even know if he knows what the first or second line is, which is fine, but it's just no clue.
Calling
just switch
notes.
Up lines.
I'm not.
can't switch up lines.
I'm not messing with the first line.
Well, the second line.
Right. Because the first line right now is your best chance of winning tomorrow
or game seven. Marchand is so good. Like, does he ever go?
How about that goal?
You talk about possession. The goal was stupid.
That's awesome.
Like, just possessing the puck. Does he ever lose a puck battle?
No, he's like a flying squirrel.
I mean, it's like sometimes when that line gets going, it looks like 5-on-5 is a power play.
Yeah,
like they never lose possession. He goes into the corner all the time and somehow comes out with it every single freaking time.
Yeah,
every time they were flying, especially the first two or three shifts, it was out of control. But you know, it wasn't good enough.
And I really believe that the Islanders being able to not only withstand it, and it was 1-0 when the Islanders scored, what, with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the first period, and now suddenly you're looking at the scoreboard, you're going, oh my God, the Bruins have just totally manhandled, outplayed them, and it's a tie game. If I'm the Bruins at that point, you are discouraged, and if you're the Islanders and you're sitting in the locker room in between periods, you're saying, gentlemen, we're in a tied game and we sucked in the first period. We were god awful. I thought that's when the game was won or lost, right there in that first period. They had to put two goals, maybe three up, and it would have been, I think, a much different game. Much different game. This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations in Dedham, next to Legacy Place and in Salem, New Hampshire. Online at northeastmenshealth.com. Are the Bruins Dunsky? We throw that question out to you. Plus, the penalties last night, and Cassidy is still pissed.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.